141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of another huge night for Scotland. A point against Ukraine tomorrow will be enough to secure top spot and a Euro playoff place for Stevie Clark's side. However, Tierney, McTominay and McKenna are all out with further doubts over the fitness of Shea Adams and Lyndon Dykes. And elsewhere, it seems the SPFL are set to confirm a new extended TV deal with Sky. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Kenny Miller and Roger Hannah.
As you say, Gordon, a huge game for Scotland tomorrow night. Just that one point needed against Ukraine and crack off to top the Nations League group. We've had two great wins over the Ukrainians and the Irish in the last week, but there are major problems for Steve Clarke. I think he says he's lost 16 players in total due to injury and suspension, all manner of problems. And on top of that, there is illness in the camp as they fly out to Poland. But fear not, myself and Kenny Miller are fit. We're ready, and we've got 69 caps and 18 goals for Scotland between us.
I was going to say, it's getting increasingly likely you two will be at centre-half for Scotland tomorrow night. So I don't know how the listeners feel about that. But Kenny, on one hand, it's great to be in this position. Another good win at the weekend. On the other, there's issues to get over ahead of tomorrow.
Yeah, a few injury issues, suspension issues to key players, but listen, it's no ideal when, if you're, again, with the greatest of respect, when you're going through Robertson and you miss Tierney and then you go into Taylor. Again, Taylor's had a wonderful start to the season off the back of a great season last year. You're just starting to get a little bit, you see, when you're starting to call four, five and six players into the squad. But we're in a fantastic place. There's a real feel-good factor surrounding the squad. And the lads that are going to step in have been part of that squad, you know, and been over the journey and been part of the game. So it's about getting over the line now, and a performance similar to last Wednesday against Ukraine will definitely be enough to get us the point required to top the group.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch with Kenny Miller or Roger Hannah tonight, so please do. Now, every person who phones in the show and gets on air tonight goes into the draw to win a brand new Scotland top as well. I'm sure you've seen it. It's the one that was worn last week against Ukraine and at the weekend against Republic of Ireland. It's a cracker, it has to be said. So you get the chance to win one of them just by coming on and making a point. I was going to say it doesn't even need to be a good point, but I'm sure everyone out there only makes good points. Maybe you're looking for a boost to the wardrobe. Maybe you're planning a very early popular Christmas gift. Whatever it is, as long as you get through and get on to speak to the guys tonight, you go into the draw to win a brand new Scotland home top. And then tomorrow we'll do the same with the away top as well. So we'll announce the winners at the end of the show. If you're in two minds whether to call in, surely that'll point you in the right direction. 0141 951 1025. No prizes for Twitter, but you can get in touch over there at Clyde SSB. I do have slight withdrawal symptoms, Roger Hannah, because it's an exciting place to be in, but usually we've got result of the weekend, goal of the weekend, howler of the weekend. None of that. I mean, it would be a two-way fight, surely, between Scotland getting to this position and the Faroe Islands, who got their famous result against Turkey at the weekend.
Yeah, certainly would. And I'm
Did you ever think you would be talking about that at 6:05 on a Monday night?
Not really. No, poor old Ridvan Yilmaz couldn't even get off the bench for Turkey to try and rescue the thing against the Faroes. And I'm feeling more confident about this friendly Scotland are going to play over in Turkey. There's a man who used to kick a ball around Turkey. He'll know what the nation's going through today, Kenny.
Oh, there we are, by the way. If you want to, there's an idea. You could send us a tweet. You could tell us how you spent your international break. Maybe you used that time to go and see a Lowland League game, Island League game, a West of Scotland League game, your local amateur team, whatever it is. I don't expect that to dominate the agenda between now and 8 o'clock, but it would be nice to hear from you on Twitter. There's a wee Twitter topic for you to let us know, because I know international football doesn't float everyone's boat. So what did you get up to on the football front at the weekend? You can tweet us there. But on the main channels, 0141 951 1025, whatever it is that's on your mind, now is the time to share it. And like I say, everyone who gets through does go in the draw to win a brand new Scotland top as well. So a wee incentive for you. Let's, whilst you get your calls in, and I can see some of you doing that already, let's start with Steve Clarke. He says Scotland aren't short of issues after injuries and illness hit the squad this week. He says he's disappointed to lose Kieran Tierney and Scott McKenna, and of course Scott McTominay's out as well. He still believes, though, he has good defensive options.
It's obviously disappointing because You don't want to lose any players from the squad. Kieran and Scott, two good players playing to the best of their ability, but as I always say, injuries are sent to test you. It's now a chance for someone else.
How much do you have to think about now in terms of how you replace them and what you do going into this game?
Quite a lot. One or two missing from training this morning. We've got some kind of virus in the camp, just sickness. So Lyndon Dyke, Shea Adams didn't train this morning, didn't feel very well, but they'll be on the plane. So we've got that to worry about as well. So we're not short of issues, and we're also not short of determination to go there and finish the job.
At centre-back, you've got Declan Gallagher, you called in Ryan Porteous, has been in the squad. Is it one of those two to partner Jack Hendry now?
And Stephen Kingsley can play there as well. So we've got really good options. Like I said, we've got a little sickness bug in the camp, so maybe I'll wake up tomorrow morning, I've got a different set of problems, I don't know. So just deal with it.
Okay, that's obviously what he has to do, and it's what the players have to do. Kenny, you'll have been there. From the outside though, where we're allowed to have a little moan, that's quite a list. If you're already without Robertson and Tierney, who are, you know, what, amongst the best left backs in Europe, you've already added Nathan Patterson to that, and you think, okay, this just shows you the depth that we've got. And all of a sudden Scott McKenna, who's been brilliant in the last couple of games, he's not there either. And this is a squad that already couldn't call up Grant Hanley and John Souter in that area of the pitch. Oh, and then your defensive midfielder and Scott McTominay's gone. Just deal with it, says Stevie Clark, but it might be easier said than done.
Yeah, I think when you look at the team that played the other night, am I right in saying Hickey might be missing? Hickey's missing as well,
I think,
is that
I think
right?
He's okay, Kenny. He's okay today, yeah.
So, well, there, so we're down. We've lost three fullbacks. We've lost our midfielder, again, not through injury, through suspension. You know what it does is it opens up a door, like for maybe a Ryan Jack, or does Billy Gilmore come back into the team? There's some really, really good players there who are more than capable of coming and filling in. But what it does is it just disrupts. I mean, we're talking on this on Friday night about what's the team going to look like. Can the same team play three games? And well, it's clearly the answer's going to be no anywhere near it. It's going to be probably half a team different from the team that beat Ukraine. But I touched on it before. The strength in the squad is really, really good. Most players, I think, have got cases that they could start the football matches for Scotland because they're playing very, very well for their clubs, which is what you want to be doing coming into a national week. So it's not ideal, but I think the momentum the team's mm-hmm. built in the last couple of games will carry us through.
See, that's the difference. That's why this guy's got 69 caps for his country, and that's why emotional fans like me are very different, because he's saying it'll be fine and I'm fearing the worst. Roger Hanna.
Yeah, listen, I think the truth's probably somewhere in the middle. Steve Clark is correct not to focus on the Robertsons or the Tierneys or the McTominays, because there's no point, you know, wringing his hands in despair. He's got to try and get the best out of players who are there. I think middle to front, they look fine. McTominay's out. You would think Ryan Jack would come in. He's played with Callum McGregor in there before. Ryan Fraser, I think, must be pushing. You know, Christie and Armstrong have both played those two games. You wonder maybe Fraser for Armstrong. I think Che Adams will come back in and lead the line instead of Lyndon Dykes for this one. But it's a defence. Greg Taylor, third choice left back. Aaron Hickey, second choice right back. If all the central defenders were fit, I don't think you'd probably be seeing Jack Hendry, and certainly not Declan Gallagher or Ryan Porteous or Stephen Kingsley. So that's where the worries will be. But the squad, they'll go there with a bit of self-belief, a bit of self-confidence. It's only 6 or 7 days since they put three past Ukraine mm-hmm. at Hampden. So they will believe, regardless of personnel, that they can do the job.
And I think he's Mr. Doom and Gloom tonight. Hugh is Mr. Doom and Gloom
tonight.
He's always
Mr. Doom and Gloom.
But I'm going to blow the other spin on it. I think Hickey is equally as effective as Patterson. I think Jack Hendry has absolutely played himself into potentially be the number one centre-back. Yes, on the left side of the fence there is an issue, and you've got Greg Taylor, who is obviously playing very well at Celtic at the moment. So I get it's not a familiar defence, but I think one door closes, another mm-hmm. opens. But I think definitely on the right hand side of the defence we're looking at Jack Henry's played both games and been yep. excellent, and arguably his best performance in a Scotland jersey came on Saturday, and his goal was absolutely excellent. You know, the confidence that he showed to step in, carry on his run, and he's found himself in the right position, and what a header it was to get us back into the game. So yeah, I'm going on the other side.
See,
I'm going the positive.
See, there you are. Everybody who watched Kenny Miller over his career and assumed that all he did was moan and complain, he's a ray of sunshine in here this evening. What do you think on the phones? 01419511025. Like, one of the main debates is clearly centre-back. Jack Hendry will play. Who plays alongside him? Graham in Easterhouse is on the line. What are the options, Graham? Who plays in there?
I think you need to go with the boy Gallagher. I think the boy Porteous is too rash at times, mate. team that plays the Bayern games against the Rangers, and especially Rangers, he seems to lose it, and I don't know if it'd be too big for him. I know he's younger, but I think the boy Gallagher done well against Serbia when we qualified.
Yeah,
so I think probably a better chance going with him.
Is it a straight shootout between Ryan Porteous and Declan Gallagher, or does the late call-up Stephen Kingsley make a late run into the team?
I agree with Graham. I think Declan Gallagher will play. Steve Clark's a great one for experience, a great one for loyalty. And he saw Declan Gallagher playing for St Mirren against Celtic 8 days ago. He knows he's in decent form after that terrible spell at Aberdeen. And Gordon, you've spoken about it. Every time we see Alexander Mitrovic scoring a goal on a Saturday afternoon for Fulham, you say he couldn't score against Declan Gallagher. And that'll be in Steve Clark's mind as well. I think it'll be Gallagher and Hendry at the centre of defence. I don't think Porteous or Kingsley will be thrown
you
in.
You two are going to fall out tonight. Yeah, I think
it'll be Porteous.
Right.
I just think, I know it's happened before when a player who has been called into the squad starts ahead of a player who was already in the squad. I know it's happened. I've been in squads where it's happened. I don't think it'll happen this time. Part of the reason being, I think Ryan Porteous, and by the way, I think Declan Gallagher was excellent in those games that were mentioned, and he had a really good kind of hand in obviously qualifying towards the Euros, and he's I rate him highly as a centre-back. I think the one thing he maybe just lacks a little bit is that kind of pace or that mobility that Ryan Porteous will bring. Part of the reason I think you've seen Scotland go 2v2 a lot over the course of these games at the back was the pace of McKenna and Hendry. Their recovery pace was excellent. Very rarely, if any, time did they get done in a leg race by any forward for Ukraine or Ireland. And I just think Porteous maybe carries the edge over him in that. So, yep, and I agree with everything that Graham says as well. He has proved to be rash and made a lot of errors over the years in regards to getting involved in silly situations. But I'm sure Steve Clark will be dealing with that. And I think he might just get the edge and get the nod.
What do you make of that side of it, Graham? You know, you, fair enough, you've put the case for Declan Gallagher, but the defence has been built on having the sort of quickest guys in there, if you like, over the last week or so. How do you think that would work?
Sometimes experience is better than pace. I think he's played at that level more often. And I think the biggest miss is obviously Kieran Tierney. I mean, Lance Eagles are really struggling. So, but I would still go with the boy Gallagher just for his experience.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, Roger, it's 9 caps versus 0 caps. So if it's about experience, then it's Declan Gallagher all day long. And that's the view that you take. But what about Kenny's view on it? Because Hendry and McKenna are very quick. We have played a very high line. If you play Declan Gallagher as good as he was against Mitrovic and all the rest of it, does the game plan alter?
I think you just have to make the decisions based on circumstances. And I think had Andy Robertson, Kieran Tierney, Grant Hanley and Nathan Patterson all been there and he was playing a five, I don't think he would think twice about putting Ryan Porteous in among all that experience. I just think if you play Porteous, you've got Hickey, fewer than 10 caps, Hendry, Jack Henry, have a dozen caps, maybe something like that. Greg Taylor, I think, has got fewer than 10 caps as well. And you want to throw Porteous into that too. I just think because of the makeup of the rest of the defence, I think that plays in favour of Declan Gallagher.
Why
too.
Does that not concern you, Kenny, as much then?
Well, it does not concern me because of what Roger says. Declan Gallagher's still got under 10 caps, the same as everybody else. So, you know, I'm not saying he would. I just think there might be a case because there might be a case for Kingsley to come in because he's mobile, he's pretty quick, he's left sided, it gives balance. So I think there is a case for them all. I've just got a feeling that Porteous could potentially play, and I think that the fact he is a centre back, he is he's pretty aggressive. That he's very quick. I think he can play with the ball as well. I think he ticks a lot of boxes. And come back to, he was in the squad. He was picked ahead of those guys.
That fascinates me, that one, because Porteous was in the initial squad, so it's quite an easy logic to follow that he is above Declan Gallagher, Stephen Kingsley in the pecking order. However, and I wish I could remember, but there have been times when that doesn't matter, and then the replacement goes in before.
And you need to understand, I think what Steve Clark's trying to do is, as well as win games and qualify for tournaments and advance the national team, he's trying to prepare for the future as well. And that's why the likes of Ryan Porteous has been called up to the squad, not necessarily to start games, but to get the experience of being in and around senior international players during these international camps of 10 days and 3 games. It's a bit like Josh Doig. Josh Doig was added last week. I don't think anyone's got any great expectation of Josh Doig being involved, but it gives them just that little bit of experience in and around the squad. Craig Halkett got it the last time in and around the squad, didn't play. The two backup goalies are getting it in and around the squad, but not really any chance of playing. And I think that's with Porteous. I think Porteous was in the squad to learn from the Hanleys and the McKennas and the Hendries, etc. But there's been so many people pulled out now. Gallagher's in the squad. I just think Gallagher will play ahead of him. Might be wrong.
Bit of a split in the camp already in here. What do you think out there? 01419511025. Is it Declan Gallagher? Is it Ryan Porteous? Is it Stephen Kingsley? Is it someone else entirely? Pick up the phone and let us know. Thank you to Graham. He's the first name in the hat for that new Scotland top, by the way. Everyone who calls in tonight goes in the hat to win the home top. We'll do the same for the away one tomorrow.
Nice top. Nice
it
top.
Is nice, isn't it?
Many Scotland tops did you? Different ones did you have over the years?
Oof. Well, here's a question. Including the infamous maroon jersey away in Georgia.
Did you ever keep that?
I'm sure it was left in the bin. No, I would have played. I don't even know how many it would have been through.
So
easy,
many.
Easy.
What one jumps out as your favourite?
15. I think the last one. See, the last one was against England. I thought that was quite a nice top.
Scored
my last
a nice
cap.
Goal that night.
But I also did like the ones without the collar as well. That had a collar.
I don't know why. If somebody said Kenny Miller in a Scotland jersey, I've got you in the Diadora number
with the wee stripe. Yeah, that was the first ones.
Why.
That was what.
Was it?
Pretty much my first start was Iceland, was with that,
right.
And then that was also Germany with that one. There was also I don't know if it was a Diodora one, that was a decent strip, I think it scored against Italy. That was a Diodora, it was
yeah,
but
maybe
around
that
neck
one.
A wee bit.
Aye, that's the one
the
I'm
boys
thinking
will
of.
Always remember, I always like the tight fitting ones, I always like the wee nice fitted ones, and know the big baggy ones.
Boy, they must have been happy they were all tight fitting for them.
Well, he always made sure he had a double XL on that one, even on the baggy ones. It was funny when we actually played in the Masters a couple of months back, there was no the large tops, and Big Boy end up having to go on the one with a medium top. It was absolutely painted on. He actually sent somebody out to see if they could go and get a different top for him. Mental.
Well, seeing you two know him well enough that you can say that. It'll be phoning in next. And thank you for ruining my night and reminding me of the maroon Georgia top as well. That was great. 01419511025. Craig is in the East End. What's your take on tomorrow night, Craig?
I think we should just go out and play the same way we played last week against Ukraine. Obviously, as you say, we're missing Tierney, we're missing Robertson. Probably two of the left backs in the world at the minute. But I think you should just go out with like for like, as the guys were saying, and just go the same way we approached last week.
I love the sound of it. I'll go to the professional, sorry, Roger, in the room. Knowing you go into a massive game and you only need a draw. What is that mindset like?
It doesn't, it can't change. There's no way you're approaching the game any different to how you would have approached it last week. I think the lessons from the game in June were learned.
Mm-hmm.
There was a different shape. There was a far more aggressive nature to the game. From that, we allowed to get control. We got really, really good players in our central area when we had the ball that we were able to connect and keep that element of control. Off the ball, we were able to press them a lot higher and put them under pressure earlier, which took their control away and added to the possession and the dominance that we had in the game. So I think you need to be careful, because they'll now be looking at learning lessons and how they can counter that. You know, so it's,
and they made 11 changes and won 5-0 at the weekend.
Yeah, and I wouldn't imagine there'll be a few of these guys will be coming back into this game. I've no doubt about it, but there's definitely a case for it's probably going to be at least four changes to the team that played against Ukraine last week and beat them convincingly. So yeah, there's that element as different personnel, but I just think with the players that we've got, particularly in the areas, like if we're looking at midfield, say it's Ryan Jack and Callum McGregor with John McGinn ahead of them, and it's going to be Armstrong, Adams and Christie, for instance, or even Fraser rather than Armstrong, there's really, really good legs in that team. Those legs and that energy put Ukraine under so much pressure last Wednesday and turned the ball over. Cal McGregor, McTominay, yes, he's not going to be there, the high back line, but we're able to play the game in their half for long, long spells, and that added to the pressure it built on their goal. Yeah, we missed chances, but they eventually buckled and we end up with a 3-0 convincing win. So I would expect it to be similar. I would expect a response, absolutely, from Ukraine, but I think we've got enough players in that squad that are going to be able to go and kind of carry out the same plan.
So Craig, you don't think there's room to just be a bit more patient, knowing that a draw is enough to get us that playoff spot?
Nah, I just agree with Kenny Miller for once in my life. I believe it. He's right. Press him high up the park, win the ball in good areas of the pitch, and we've got the good players up top at the final third of the area, and we can create chances up there.
Roger, what's your take on it? Again, from the outside, Kenny says it, as a player your mindset can't change, but ultimately that is the fact. A draw is enough.
Yeah, and I'm not sure players really know how to go and get a draw in a game. Like, they'll go and try. It's inevitable they'll go and try and win the game. And if you end up with a draw, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll tear up the plan. The plan's worked really well in the two games so far, the 4-2-3-1. McGinn just advanced of McGregor and McTominay, which will probably tomorrow be McGregor and Jack. Christie and Armstrong, which again he says maybe will become Christie and Fraser. I quite like Fraser's extra pace on the break away from home. He's done well in areas like that before. I think Adams will come back in for Dykes. I think he probably for a game like that is better suited as well. And going forward, you would believe this Scotland team can score goals in Krakow tomorrow. The issue we have is, can we keep them out?
Okay, explain to me further then. Does it, Kenny, does the doubt ever creep in mid-game? Now I know what you're saying about you approach it the same. I don't know, hypothetically Scotland go a goal down with whatever,
which could happen,
right, 40 minutes to go, something like that. Is that where it becomes tricky? Because surely you don't, then that doubt of, okay, let's go gung-ho, you lose a second, then, you know, you're done. Whereas you sort of hang in there knowing that a draw can do it for you.
You know, I just think gung-ho is a term that, again, probably doesn't really get used in dressing rooms. They will believe, again, and they had the evidence there on Saturday night against Ireland, if they continue to do the right things, chances will come and they'll get themselves back into the game. And the fact that it's 1-0, I don't think there's... If it did go 1-0, there would be no reason to panic. We've shown they can create chances, shown they can score goals against this team less than about a week ago. So, it's no, I don't think you absolutely need to go gung-ho and start throwing everything at it. You just take your time and do what you've been doing.
Good man, Craig. Craig's in the draw for that new Scotland top as well. If you want to join him, pick up the phone right now, 01419511025. We had a nice wee debate about who should play at centre-back. Is it Porteous? Is it Gallagher? Is it Kingsley? What do you think? I think we've just stumbled upon another one. Who replaces Scott McTominay? Is it Ryan Jack? Is it Kenny McLean? Is it Billy Gilmore? Is it someone else? Let us know.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller are here at 01419511025. Even if you get through, as long as you get through, I should say, to speak to the guys tonight, you go into the hat to win a new Scotland top. We'll do the away top tomorrow, so it's the home one tonight. Pick up the phone and let us know what you're thinking. So many absentees for Scotland. Kenny Miller's optimistic though. He thinks we've got enough there to handle it. Who should play at the back with all those dropouts? McKenna's gone, Tierney's gone, Patterson's gone, Robertson wasn't there to begin with. Does Ryan Porteous play? Does Declan Gallagher play? Is it Stephen Kingsley? And what about midfield? Scott McTominay's not there. Is it Jack? Is it McLean? Is it Gilmore? Is it someone else? Let us know. We are on Twitter as well as the phones. Crypto Wallace says, we're screaming out for a left-sided centre-back to come in, yet Murray Wallace, Millwall's player of the season, remains unpicked. What are the scouts at the Scottish FA actually doing? I did notice there's Wallace in the tweets. I don't know if that's like a cousin or an uncle is batting for him. But
Newton Mearns' finest, I think his family will be neighbours of yours, Gordon.
Oh, don't know about that. But has Crypto Wallace got a point?
Well, listen, he's been there a long time. He's been down the road a long time. He is a solid performer in the English Championship. Gets rave reviews from the Millwall fans. Steve Clark will know him. Steve Clark doesn't live a million miles away from where Murray plays, so he will be on the radar. I think in this instance, probably the fact that Stephen Kingsley and Barry Mackay were based in Edinburgh, not too far from where the team was training and not too far from where the team was flying out to Krakow, probably helped them in their selection. No disrespect to either, because they've both played very well.
01419511025. Martin's in Clydebank. What do you think tomorrow, Martin? Are you comfortable or a little bit concerned about how down the list of replacements we're going?
So I think if we had a fully fit squad, I think we'd be, the way we've been playing, we'd be more than capable of going to Poland and getting a win. However, I just think the difference in levels that the guys play at that are coming in, I think Ukraine might just have a wee bit too much for us. But if these guys that are coming in didn't have enough to play for to try and keep a jersey for the next round of selections, also we could potentially be the only British team in Group A next year. especially how much the English media rips the Scottish game apart. I think that could be great for the profile of Scottish football as a whole.
Yeah, you're getting the feeling, Roger Hannah, that forget that Euro playoff nonsense. Who cares about that? And forget the fact that it'll boost you in future qualifications. How good would it be to swap places with England in Group A? I think that's some people's priority.
Yeah, England and Wales both heading down. Hopefully we could be heading up. And listen, you need to remember, it's not that long ago we were in League C, taking on Israel and Albania and teams like that. So that would be two promotions in the very brief tenure of the Nations League, which would be fantastic for the Scottish national team. And particularly at a time when we have so many injuries. One of the things we haven't looked at is Ukraine. You know, they've got some decent players, but look at their form. You know, the Ukraine that came to Hampden in June was excellent. The one out of the park. But then they went to Wales and lost and didn't play nearly as well. And they came to Hampden last week and they really weren't very good at Hampden last week. Yes, they went to Armenia and won 5-0, but we went to Armenia and scored 4. So these things can happen. I think a lot will depend on how that Ukrainian side turns up, because they've got stars, Mudryk and Dovbyk and all of these guys, Mikhailenko. But, you know, Celtic went to Poland and took on Shakhtar Donetsk a couple of weeks ago with a lot of these guys in the team. And Celtic had the better of the game and should have won the game. So, you know, there is no reason Scotland should go with any sense of fear or trepidation.
I get it, Kenny. Like, for a start, you might not have that deep interest in international football. You still might not really get to the Nations League or care about the Nations League. But the incentive tomorrow is absolutely massive. For the avoidance of doubt, in case anyone doesn't know, a single point and we are straight in the playoffs for the Euros without even having to worry about the traditional qualification campaign. And then, great, we might even do well in that and get in. As Roger says, you're then getting into Group A, you're getting to mix it with the elite. In the next Nations League, Martin's giving you the wee fans' perspective. We could be the only British team in it, and that, of course, then boosts your chances of getting a much more favourable draw, you know, in future campaigns as well. There's so much riding on it,
and probably gets you a playoff for the next stage, because you're actually in that potty as well. So there's so much at stake, you know, and it's about going on and performing. If the lads perform how they've been performing, then there's no doubt you can get the result. Yes, Ukraine have got the players that Roger was talking about, but absolutely spot on that Scotland have outplayed them the other night. And that game back in June, Scotland were miles off it. They were in that wee spell where it seemed like it was end of season games, albeit there was a lot at stake on the game. It's a World Cup playoff game. But they just were off it, and then a week later they were off against Ireland as well. So, but they've really put that right. The last two performances, yes, Ireland wasn't as sensational and as what Ukraine was, but the job was done. You know, they had to dig in and they got the job done.
And you mentioned the actual Euro 2024 qualification. If we get a point tomorrow night and top that group, I think we're guaranteed to be in pot two for that draw, which takes place in Frankfurt a week on Sunday. So it helps us in all manner of areas, Gordon.
Martin, we have had a bit of a debate about the team. I'll put you on the spot. In terms of defence, Ryan Porteous, Declan Gallagher or Stephen Kingsley, who do you want in there out of those three?
To be honest, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, I actually don't think there's that much between the three of them. Personally, I think I would just go with Porteous. I think it was Kenny was saying earlier on, he's just got that bit more pace. And I think up front, Ukraine, they have a lot of quick, nippy players. And I think him just covering them behind with that pace could maybe make the difference. But as I say, there's no much between the three of them. It could go by any one of them.
Yeah, fair enough. What about midfield then? Scott McTominay has been immense, I think everyone would agree, in the last two games. He's not there. Is it Ryan Jack? Is it Kenny McLean? Or is it Billy Gilmore?
I think it's got to be Billy Gilmore. I think the way, if he's the top of his game, the way he can just retain possession, recycle it for us, because I think we're going to need to keep the ball for quite a bit of a large spells tomorrow if we want to win and dominate the game. And I think he's the player that can really dictate the tempo to any match that he plays in for any team if he's at the top of his game.
Take you back a year ago, you would have scoffed at the suggestion that Billy Gilmore could be left out of a game like this for Scotland. He was Wembley in June, then we carried on and everyone thought it was going to be the start of hundreds of caps and man of the match performances every time, because that's the way it seemed, Kenny. He's had 0 minutes across these two games so far. He's had 1 minute for Brighton this season. Look, this might just be a slip. I'm not saying Stevie Clark meant it, but I think when he was actually asked about replacements for McTominay, he mentioned McLean and Jack and didn't mention Billy Gilmore. Like I say, maybe don't need to look too seriously on that one, but Is it likely?
I think it'll be Ryan Jack or Billy Gilmore. I think both of them have played.
Loves Kenny McLean though, Steve Clark, doesn't he?
No, I don't think he'll play though. I would if out of the three, and I really like Kenny. I just think when you look over team selections since Steve came in, he's not started too many games. Billy has started a lot of games, and the one thing again I look at a little bit further than maybe just a name and who's going to play between Ryan and Billy, both of them linked really really well with Callum McGregor. I mean, I think when Billy Gilmore played in particular, because Ryan's obviously had his injury problems and only really came back into the setup of late, Billy Gilmore and Callum McGregor linked really, really well. The two of them know exactly what they're doing. They're comfortable on the ball. Martin makes a brilliant point. You need to stay on the ball. You need to keep have a calm head in there and be able to take the ball to take the might need to take the sting out of the game if you're under a little bit of pressure. I mean, Ryan Jack can do that as well. When he's played with Callum McGregor, I think they two link really, really well as well. And it's a right footer, a left footer. It's a bit of balance. I would imagine one of them will play. Which one will, I'm not too sure, because like I say, I think both of them have got a good relationship and understanding in there with Callum McGregor.
You know, I like a really dull statistic, Gordon.
Oh, dull, absolutely.
You know, Kenny McLean has won as many caps as Billy Gilmore and Ryan Jack put together. That's tonight's dull stat. No, so I think he is in the frame. He's come off the bench the last two games for Ryan Christie. You know, Ryan Jack, Billy Gilmore haven't come off the bench. He's in the frame. I tend to agree with Kenny. I think Ryan Jack and Callum McGregor will start though.
Yeah, I get Kenny's point, because Billy Gilmore's been a sort of first pick for a period of time, and so is Ryan Jack. But I've also got you also get the feeling Steve Clark uses Kenny McLean whenever he can. Yeah. It seems that way, you know, whether it be from the bench, sort of first sub on.
Managers are like that. Managers trust players. Look at how many caps Stephen O'Donnell's won under Steve Clark, because he trusted him from Kilmarnock days. Greg Taylor, he's got no qualms about throwing Greg Taylor into these games because he's trusted him from Kilmarnock days. I think that will help Declan Gallagher tomorrow night, and you know, it will help Kenny McLean. He does use Kenny McLean because he trusts him. A lot of the time he sends him on towards the end of the game because he's good at holding possession. You know, he's a clever player and he knows what Steve Clark wants.
And I think both again, so even in the Gallagher thing, they lose a bit of size in the team. I mean, Ukrainian team are a big team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're losing McKenna. I mean, Portress is still an aggressive player, but he's a bit down on size on McKenna. McTominay's got a presence, a real presence in the middle. He must be 6'2", 6'3".
And if you swap him for Gilmore, well, as good as Billy Gilmore is, that's that change everything in terms of your structure at set pieces and so on.
Well, what it does is it means you're a man or two shy in terms of size in the matchup. So I wonder if it'll come in. I know managers definitely look at this kind of stuff. So I think Kenny McLean, for instance, he's probably the biggest out of the three. He's a really good footballer, Kenny. I don't think he'll get the nod ahead of either one of the two.
Thank you, Martin. Martin goes in the draw for that Scotland top as well. If you want to join him, now is the time to call 01419511025 and we'll try and get your next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here. As Roger said, 69 Scotland caps between them, so they're well versed on everything to do with the national side ahead of that massive game tomorrow. We're taking your thoughts, your arguments for who should play in defence, who should play in midfield. Some sort of sickness bug doing the rounds as well. Have we annoyed the footballing gods in some way, Roger Hanna? It just feels like there's quite a lot stacking up going into this one.
An awful lot of players missing from the game, not getting the trip to Krakow. And if we get this point tomorrow night, it will be an incredible achievement for Steve Clark and his squad.
Let's try. I don't know if we can. Can you clear this up for me, right? Because Steve Clark, we heard him earlier, he's talking about illness and a virus or a bug, and Shea Adams and Lyndon Dyke struggling, which would be ridiculously bad luck, both the strikers. But then here's what Shea Adams said after that.
No, I feel great. You know, I trained this morning and feeling better, but I think it's just it's one of them ones where we have to get through it and get a massive performance in tomorrow. No, I'm tough, so I can play. I think, I think if it was any worse than that, I think I couldn't. But you know, I'm fit. I'm ready to go. There's been a few injuries, but I think that comes from boys putting their bodies on the line and you know wanting to do well for the nation. So I think, it's been tough. But you know, we brought some other players in and they've trained this morning as well.
I'm gonna have to just throw out some bizarre possible explanations here, because Steve Clark says Shea Adams is struggling and might not play. She Adam says, I'm absolutely fine and I will play. So either some sort of weird mind game from Steve Clark that's not worked, either he's She Adams, it's a weird mind game from She Adams. Maybe Steve Clark didn't mean to say She Adams when he was mentioning who had the bug. I don't know. Roger Hannah,
I think quite innocently Steve Clark's mentioned the wrong player's name.
Really?
Yeah. I think five or six players have been touched by this bug or virus or issue, whatever you want to describe it, over the last few days, to varying degrees. And I think Dykes was one of two players who didn't train today, but Shea Adams, as he said himself,
right,
did train.
So you think
today.
Dykes is more of a genuine concern for this game than Shea Adams?
Well,
is it,
well, he must be, because he didn't train. He didn't train today.
And Adams did.
I think the SFA medical people are reasonably confident it's not something that is going to cause them any long-term concern, any of the individuals. I think it's maybe just a 24-hour thing. The worry you would have, as Steve Clark said at the top of the show, is tomorrow morning, even if the guys who were suffering yesterday and today are cleared up, you know, does the guys who haven't been touched so far, could they suddenly wake up tomorrow morning in their beds in Poland not feeling great?
Can I just tell you that as much as Kenny Miller's putting a positive spin on things, see if Craig Gordon and Jack Hendry wake up with a sickness bug tomorrow, I'll be phoning in sick tomorrow night. That'll be enough to tip me over the edge. Kenny Miller, you ever had the old sickness in the camp type thing?
You know, you get boys that are unwell for a number of kind of reasons, but nah, there's never really been hit too much where there's been a real kind of virus or even if it was like a flu or whatever going through a squad to keep you out of a game. Absolutely not.
I'm sure Adam sounds just like
dust yourself down
he'll
and
play.
Go on,
he'll play. He's done well.
Right, okay.
I meant to ask, Kenny, do you actually have 69 caps? How does that work? Do you get a cap for each time you play?
No, but you get a, I think you got a cap for, in fact, the way it was different. You used to get a cap only for the competitive
right.
matches, and then you would maybe get a cap for the season. So if you season, you would maybe get a cap. I don't know if I think it might have changed, to be honest with you, since I finished. But
all
no,
69 sitting in the house.
What would Mark Wilson get for playing 45 minutes? Does he just get a wee skip at the front?
I think it's just the tassel off the top.
Uh-huh.
You know, because
they might not get that if it was a friendly.
That's a good point.
They might have got one cap for playing that 45 minutes in that one season. Who knows?
Let me ask him. We'll quiz him when he's on tomorrow. Before we bring in David who's on the line, something you said about, you know, Scott McKenna dropping out. If Ryan Portis comes in, he's smaller. Scott McTominay dropping out, and if Billy Gilmore replaces him, he's half the height. Does that tempt Steve Clark in any way regarding Lyndon Dykes?
Well, maybe. I mean, again, maybe it's not just his height.
I mean, by the way, we're assuming if he gets over his sickness thing.
I don't even think it'll be about his height. I think there would be a real question mark to who would start at the number nine position tomorrow.
That's Adams, though, isn't it? Is it not Adams' jersey?
Well, why was he missing the other night then? Why did he not play the other night then?
It just felt like, well, I don't know, Roger, you can.
I tend to think it's okay for the defenders, although the defenders aren't going to play three games in this instance. I think it's harder for the forward going players to play the three games, and I think this is maybe the plan. Adams playing Ukraine, Dykes playing Ireland, and Adams going back in for the second game in Ukraine.
It would have been interesting then had Adams scored the headers that he missed, and then he would have still been left out, hit the bar, and he missed the one straight after that he should have scored. He should have got it back across the goalkeeper.
I think Fraser might be involved tomorrow night just for a similar thing.
For the height?
You know, away from home. Yeah, he's going to stand in Ryan Jack's shoulders.
I was going to say, he must be the only player in the Scotland team that I could make that joke about. So
You wonder if Austin McPhee has any influence in things like that. You know, we're talking about the height of players defending set pieces. You know, he is the set piece guru, if that's the right
something
word.
Like that. Yeah, David's in West Lothian. David, looking back at the weekend then, and I know things have changed personnel wise, but what did you make of that one?
I enjoyed it. It's good that we got the result. I think Ireland set up quite defensive with their five at the back, well, 3-5-2, but it was more like five. They stifled us a wee bit, but seeing a good team winning, when you didn't play that great, it was good to actually get the result, and the place was bouncing, the atmosphere was excellent as well, so it certainly helped. I'll tell you what, the UK manager's got his work out as well, because I think they made about 9 changes or something for their team, and they got a reaction against Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a selection issue as well on who he picks.
Yeah, it was 11. David, would you believe, changed every single player. Yeah, do you know what? What did you make of it the weekend, Kenny? Because it was going to be really tough to match the performance level of Ukraine. That clearly didn't happen. But David's actually taken a positive from that, where Scotland, believe it or not, are now in a place where they can get into international games, maybe not be at their best, and still win them. How did you see it?
Well, I don't think we played poorly. You know, it wasn't the same level of performance against Ukraine, but it's also down to opposition, how opposition set up, how the game becomes. Like, it did become a game that probably Ireland would have wanted rather than Scotland, but I still felt we controlled. Yeah, they had the opportunity. They could have went 2-1 up when Parrott went through, 1-1 with Craig Gordon. That aside, I didn't think there was too much danger, particularly in the second half. I thought we were pretty solid. I thought, again, I think we had 60-odd% of the ball. Real control, I felt, in the game. It was, and we got our goals and we got the job done. And so, as a sign of a good team, that we're maybe not at the top of our game, but I don't think we were. It was a poor performance.
No, it certainly wasn't. The one thing I would worry about, I don't think we've flown out the blocks in either game. We played our best stuff in the second half against Ukraine at Hampden last week. You touching Shea Adams, hitting the bar, having, you know, a couple of chances before McGinn and Dyke scored the goal. And it was the same, you know, we lost that early goal on Saturday and really had to dig in the second half for those two goals and to win. My worry would be if we start as slow and sluggish as that and crack off tomorrow night, we'll give ourselves a problem. I think the tempo, the second half tempo of these first two games needs to be the tempo from the first whistle.
David, there are personnel issues that weren't there even on Saturday. Scott McKenna, who was very good, won't be there. Neither will Scott McTominay. Isn't none of that enough to dent your confidence?
No, I think he's the other guy's an opportunity. Come in, see what they can do. I think Fraser's obviously been a bit part. He's came on, done what, 15-20 minutes each game. I think he'll start. I think he can run at them. I think Adams, he said in his interview there, so he probably will play. And I like him. I like him up front. I think he's a nuisance. He runs all the channels. Different to Dykes. He didn't have that against Ireland, but obviously he's there for his physicality, Dykes against Ireland. But I prefer Adams up front. So I think opportunity for our players to come in and see what they can do. I know they've added a couple into the squad, which is good for the future. I think Hearts have obviously got a few players in the squad now as well, which is good and nice to see. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to the 50-minute mark, Roger, and without being unfair, it's maybe not going down as a vintage night for any of them, but, you know, for Ryan Christie, who then sets up a goal and scores the winner. So,
yeah.
You know, as Kenny knows more than us two, contributing in these big moments is massively important when the games are so finely poised.
Yeah, and listen, it helps it, you know, breed confidence with these players. One of the things we said back at the Euros final when we were losing to the Croatias and the Czech Republics of this world was, look at how many caps these guys have got compared to how many caps the Scotland players had. And we said that lack of experience, it's something you can only get by playing in more tournaments and playing in more qualifiers. And we've looked in the last couple of games as if we're gaining that experience a wee bit. You know, we didn't panic in the home game against Ukraine when things weren't going our way and we were hitting the woodwork. We kept chipping away and we got the win in the end. And it was the same on Saturday. We had a bad start. We lost a goal to John Egan, but they didn't panic either. And they came out the other side. And we actually flipped it because it was a sort of a younger, less experienced Irish team that Scotland did a number on in the second half. So these players are growing in experience and nous in the international arena, and hopefully that will be to their benefit tomorrow night.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thank you, David. He also goes in the hat for the Scotland home top. Anyone who gets through in the phones tonight goes in that hat and we'll draw the winner before the end of the show. We'll do the same with the away top tomorrow. As good as that is, I mean, seriously, nothing really compares to the signed Super Scoreboard ball, as I'm sure everyone would quite obviously agree. And if you want to win one, it is Beat the Pundit time right now. You have to call before 7 o'clock and the number you need is 0141 951 1025. And it could be you playing next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch, big night for Scotland tomorrow, lots of injuries. What would you do if you were in charge? Who would you pick? Who would replace the guys that are dropping out? Pick up that phone and let us know. If you want to talk about something else, please do. 01419511025. Obviously a bit quieter with no club football at the moment. And remember, every caller who gets through to make a point to the panel goes into the hat for a new Scotland top as well. I'm sure you've seen it. It got its debut last week against Ukraine, again at the weekend. It's a cracker, so you win that potentially if you call in tonight. And we'll do the same with the away top tomorrow. So get in touch and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. A new week, a clean slate, a fresh start, which we needed. What about Fridays? You here on Friday with you? 1-0.
No, it wasn't. It was 2-1, was it not?
No, it was a 1-0.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
Was it? Oh my
and
goodness.
We have been racking our brains.
One's a one.
I'm not sure if we've ever had any. Oh, we were thinking maybe
I think it's been a 1-0 before.
But a 1-0?
Yeah.
Brutal. Incredibly bad. We need a higher standard
that's
tonight.
That's right. It was a clean sheet that night.
Something like that. A clean sheet from the man who's got no clean underwear because his suitcase has still not arrived back from Italy. Unless you've heard different.
It's an absolute scandal. Let me tell you, Gordon, there are tens of pounds worth of clothes in that case.
I can imagine. Honestly, I would have heard over the weekend if it had returned. We would have heard. So I have to assume that he's still rocking that same shirt and chinos combo and. Things are looking rough for him, but we'll.
Are you suggesting there's a baggage handler cutting around Italy somewhere dressed in Hugh's gear?
With his wee sun hat on that he sent from the pictures. We'll get an update later this week, I'm sure. I know you're all really worried about him out there. So, Peter's in Barhead to play tonight. How's it going, Peter?
Yeah, not bad.
Bad. Not bad at all. I'm going to toss this coin. If it is heads, you will play Roger Hannah -1. And if it is tails, you will play Kenny Miller. Let's see how we go. And it is tails. It's Kenny Miller up against Peter from Barhead. Kenny, so I'm going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to so that you don't know what Peter is saying. Peter, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
Okay.
Right, good man then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which club did Jeremy Frimpong leave Celtic to join?
Leverkusen.
Who's the youngest player to play for Rangers in the league this season?
King.
Which Scottish Premiership club does Isma Goncalves currently play for?
Livy.
Who scored more goals for Scotland, Jack Hendry or Callum McGregor?
Callum McGregor.
Who are Hearts' next European Conference League opponents?
Fiorentina.
Who's the most capped player in the current Scotland squad after Craig Gordon?
Pass.
Okay, Kenny Miller, can you hear us?
Yep.
You ready?
Yep.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock. Time starts now. Which club did Jeremy Frimpong leave Celtic to join?
Leverkusen.
Who's the youngest player to play for Rangers in the league this season?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership club does Isma Goncalves currently play for?
Livingston.
Who scored more goals for Scotland, Jack Hendry or Callum McGregor?
Jack Hendry.
Who are Hearts' next European Conference League opponents?
Pass.
Who's the most capped player in the current Scotland squad after Craig Gordon?
Oh, John McGinn.
Who took over as permanent Kilmarnock manager after Steve Clark left?
Alex Dyer.
Peter, how do you think it went?
I think he's got me on the last one, the Dyer one. I think McGinn's right.
It was a good game. Because you're like the ones that I think Peter maybe didn't get, you sounded confident, vice versa. That was a cracker.
You sounded confident.
I've forgotten all about the 1-0 from Friday night.
What a turnaround.
I don't know. Jeremy Frimpong, Bayer Leverkusen, both correct. Leon King is the Rangers' youngest player. 2-1 to Peter. Isma Goncalves plays for Livy. 3-2 to Peter. Jack Hendry has 3 Scotland goals. Callum McGregor has 2. Equaliser, Kenny Miller. Hearts' next European Conference, Europa Conference League opponents are Fiorentina. Peter goes 1 in front. And John McGinn is the most capped player behind Craig Gordon. Kenny equalises.
Oh,
what a game.
What a game.
Back and forth as end to
end. See if we could join you two together. You'd be the ultimate Beat the Pundit contestant.
Oh.
Which means, Peter, it all comes down to this. Because he got one more question than you.
Can I just ask, why is he dancing?
Is it wrong? No, it's not, is it? No, it's not.
Who took over as permanent Kilmarnock manager after Steve Clark? Have you had enough time on the show to establish who the oracle is amongst the pundits? You know it's him, right?
I know it is, aye, yep.
Angelo Alessio.
It's Angelo Alessio.
No chance.
It's Angelo Alessio. You're off the hook. Off the hook, Peter.
That was down. We'll get that job
eventually.
After Angelo Alessio, yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, means we go to the what a game, by the way. Everyone's a winner here tonight, right? Good game.
It was exciting.
So, we go to the tiebreaker and we'll see how we get on, right? So, I'll read the question. I'll get Kenny to write his answer down and I'll then invite Peter to give me his attempt. So the question on the tiebreaker tonight is this: how many league goals did Ali McCoist score throughout his career for all of his clubs? Write it down, please, Kenny. How many league goals did Ali McCoist score throughout his career for all his clubs? Peter, what is your attempt?
402.
Okay, 402 says Kenny Miller. And it says Peter. Kenny, read out what yours says.
282.
I can tell you that one of you is 8 out, which is remarkable. And that person is Kenny Miller. It's 290. Oh. Peter, he was good, but he didn't get that many. Peter, listen, you deserve...
There's a finger wagging going on here in the studio.
I've seen that celebration a few times over the years. Well done, Peter. That was a great effort. Well done.
Well done, Kenny.
Cheers, pal.
That's how it should be done. Keevans and whoever the contestant was on Friday night. Happy with that. 8
oh, delighted.
Out. Roger,
delighted.
You were close as well. What did you go for again?
I went 278. So Kenny would have beaten me in the playoff.
You wouldn't have got a playoff. You would have got Angelo Alessi. So
he'd have got them all.
You got them all. Aye. That's why you're minus one.
He would have got them all. That's for sure.
So win another one, though.
Producer Callum's well done. Producer Callum's not even working tonight, and he's texting saying, "What a game!" with the flame emoji. It's the big match. All the people are after. Forget this, Scotland.
That's what I'm saying. What I mean.
Nonsense.
See when you're down. Just don't panic.
Just keep fighting back.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
What a man, producer Callum. Even when he's got a hard day on night off in the September weekend, he doesn't want to miss a moment of this show.
Exactly. He's
an aficionado.
He's a true professional. Do you think Gordon Dale's listening?
No.
Yeah, I think unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
His bath night's Wednesday.
Bath night's Wednesday. He does listen. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is disturbing in itself. But I'm not sure he'll have other plans. Big September weekend plans, I'm sure.
Oh, I would have thought so.
Absolutely certain of it. 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. As you can imagine, there's not loads of stories doing the rounds today because, well, your club teams have all gone on your break. I noticed Celtic sent out a tweet, Roger Hanna, with the famous scene from Narcos, where he's sort of sitting in the swing, gazing longingly into the distance, and it's become a quite famous internet meme. And Celtic tweeted that picture along the lines of, "When it's still the international break." Look, if Scotland get to the playoffs for the Euros tomorrow, brilliant. But it's a heck of a long break for those who like the domestic stuff. This triple header, Kenny Miller.
It's still 2 weeks, isn't it? It's the same length. It's just an extra game
longer.
Squeezed in there. The extra game helps. It helps when you've got another game to look forward to.
You are a ray of optimism tonight. Putting a positive spin on
does
it all.
Does it make the international break longer when you've lost the game beforehand?
Absolutely does. Like you'll say, you always want to work when you want to win all games. Yeah, but you definitely don't want to go 2 weeks without a game to then go and put a poor result right. Absolutely.
But what a Saturday we've got. A 6-game Premiership Saturday. Even all 5 Championship games are on Saturday. We will be back with a bang.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. I mean, Hearts Rangers first up, and it's not often the top two play on the same day as it is, and then later on Celtic against Motherwell, Aberdeen Killy, United St Johnstone, County Hibs and St Mirren Livy. I mean, it's a bit early to turn our attentions. It is Monday night, of course, but that's what you've got down the track. It should be an absolute cracking weekend. I did say at the start of the show, by the way, not many of you have been battering down the door to tell me, but did anyone use their international break wisely? Did you get the chance to go and see maybe some Lowland League action, some West of Scotland League action? Maybe you live in a different part of the country, took in a Highland League game or whatever else, some amateur football. If you did, let us know. We're always, when it's quieter, we always like to try and give honourable mentions. I mean, you're a student of the game, Roger Hanna. No grassroots football for
well,
you.
There was
over the weekend.
But my friend went to the Glasgow Warriors on Friday night. They beat Cardiff 52-24. He said it was terrific.
Kenny, is he? He's just read the script completely wrong.
It's the wrong show, isn't it?
It's the wrong shape of ball for a start. It's not quite what I had in mind, right? Someone out there might be able to do better at Clyde SSB. You can send me a tweet and let me know. Right, 01419511025. I did say that you get in the hat for a new Scotland strip if you get on the phones tonight. Simple as that. So we'll do the home strip tonight, away strip tomorrow. Maybe you're looking for something new to wear watching the game. Maybe you're wanting something new to wear to the fives. Maybe you are going to stash it away and be a very generous present giver in a couple of months' time. Whatever it is, that's all you need to do is pick up the phone, 01419511025, and make it onto the show. The other piece of club news, I suppose, it looks like we're closing in on a new TV deal with Sky. I know Rangers had their say in the last couple of weeks. Aberdeen came out last night and tried to rebuff that, and it's a very split one on Twitter. But it looks like the clubs will vote in favour of it. If not officially confirmed tonight, it should be soon. So if you've any thoughts on that, you're more than welcome to get them in as well. But the next man in the hat for the Scotland top is Lee in Christen. A few big decisions for Steve Clark tomorrow, Lee. How do you feel about them?
The main one, Gordon, is just in defence. I would 100% go with Declan Gallagher. I know Kenny says about Ryan Porteous, but I just cannot trust him in a big game like this.
Based on?
Just his disciplinary record, and just you might call me biased because I'm a Rangers fan, but I just cannot trust him in a massive game like this.
I wouldn't dream of it, Lee. I would not dream of it. The only thing I would say, Roger, is that the part of the country that we're in, we don't get that many Hibs fans on the show, and the majority of people calling in to express concerns about Ryan Porteous are Rangers fans. Maybe it's a complete coincidence.
Well, we are in this part of the country, and as you often say, Gordon, we tend to look at things through an old firm prism. So it's actually surprised me tonight we haven't had anyone on pushing the claims of a Stephen Welsh or a Leon King to be in the squad, you know, ahead of a Gallagher or ahead of a Kingsley or ahead, you know, ahead even of Porteous. Stephen Welsh has played a lot of big games for Celtic, a lot of, you know, continental games for Celtic. He's got a bit of experience. So Leon King, captain of 21s yesterday, you know, if George Doig can go from being under 21 captain one day to being in the senior squad the next day, maybe he's not a million miles away from it either. So that's interested me. I just tend to think it will be Gallagher and Hendry. Kenny thinks it will be Porteous and Hendry.
I never actually said that. I don't know what I would pick, but I think Steve Clark will be looking at that pace situation.
Yeah. Well, look, where are we on Ryan Porteous? Because Lee almost acknowledges it himself. There's a debate there about Ryan Porteous because he divides opinion. So lots of opposition fans love to hate him. That makes the Hibs fans love to stick up for him. And that can cloud everything. You get these characters, don't you? And then when they come together with Alfredo Morelos, it's the clash of that. With your ex-professional head on and having played for Hibs and having been a young player coming through and having played for Scotland, how do you cut through all of that stuff? What do you make of him?
Well, if Ryan Porteous just sticks to doing what he does very well, which is play football, he's a good defender, I think he's got all the tools there to be a really top centre-back, then there's no issue. The problem is he gets himself involved in situations that he doesn't need to get involved in, and he tends to try and make it about, everything is about him, is what I think. He gets himself in these situations that, again, normally against Rangers, Morelos, they've just got this running rivalry. You know what? It's an exciting rivalry to watch because they're two really, really good players going at it.
Funnily enough, sometimes, it used to be Scott McKenna and Alfredo Morelos, didn't it?
That's it. I mean, again, Scott's a different type of player altogether. Ryan's a very good player. That's why I've no issues with his abilities to go and play for Scotland tomorrow night. Absolutely none whatsoever. It is just, does he get involved with a player? Does he pick one of these? Does he pick Dovbyk? I'm going to have it with you tonight, and it becomes a rivalry. Maybe he needs that type of drive to push him to get up to the levels. But it's his abilities are there. There's just no doubt about it. But you can't argue the situations that he's been in over the years. By the way, but I think we've talked about his disciplinary record's actually not too bad.
Do you think without the, let's say the detractors are right or partly right, Roger, do you think without, you know, a big Easter Road crowd behind him, or alternatively without a vociferous Old Firm crowd against him, that maybe it would be a different type of mindset for Ryan Porteous if he played tomorrow?
You talk about Morelos, and it takes us back to looking at things through the Old Firm prism. When I hear Ryan Porteous called into the Scotland squad last week, immediately thought of Jim Goodwin in the Aberdeen performance, which was the last game, and the Aberdeen manager's calling him a cheat and saying he conned the referee
and getting charged by the Scottish FA for his troubles.
Yeah, and put wrestling with Liam Scales in the penalty box to win that. I think if Ryan Porteous can get away from that, more people would look at his defending. Kenny's talking about, you know, been a very good defender. He's got all the, you know, the aspects of the game you would need. I don't think he gets enough credit for that, because he puts himself into positions where people look at the other side of his game, the indiscipline, the carry on in his game. And going forward, I think if he really wants to push himself as an international centre-half, he's going to have to do what McKenna did, because McKenna used to get involved in a lot of these things, as you say. McKenna hasn't been involved in anything like that for years. So Porteous needs to stop getting involved in silly flashpoints and allow his defensive quality to come to the fore.
To be fair, Steve Clarke doesn't seem that bothered, because he's had him in squads before. He's in this squad. We had the tweeter earlier. He could go for Murray Wallace, he could go for Dominic Higham at Blackburn, he could go for, I don't know, whoever else. He had him in front of Stephen Kingsley to start.
I think a lot of that is his age, because I think Steve Clarke is getting to the stage of his management where he is blooding young guys into the squad, not necessarily with an expectation of getting them onto the field. Doig been one, Robbie McCrory been one, that kind of thing. You know, that's why I think Steve Clarke would like to see Porteous's career develop the way McKenna's career has.
Just generally, Lee, are you worried about the absentees or confidence despite them?
So just before I mention that, Gordon, I actually do think Porteous is a good player. Mm-hmm. I just think Declan Gallagher's earned the trust of Steve Clarke as well, with his performance in Serbia, then the whole no picking him for the Euros last year and stuff like that. I think he's just owed one, basically. I think his performance deserved a place at Euros. I think his performances for St Mirren, particularly against Celtic a couple of weeks ago as well, deserve a place at the game tomorrow. Just going on to your question there, I'm extremely worried about the likes of Adams and Dykes being missing. Last week, I thought the physicality up front was brilliant. I'm not a great fan of Che Adams either, to be honest. He has been good in past games against Denmark and Ukraine the other night there, but I just think there's something missing. He's not a Kenny Muller. Just up your
Come on, flattery will get you nowhere, Lee. You're getting the hat for the Scotland jersey the same as anyone else. We're not putting you in twice if you praise Kenny Miller. But no, fair enough. At least Roger Hanna can put your mind at ease, Lee. He doesn't think Shea Adams will be missing. It might just be Lyndon Dykes. So, like you said, you're not a big fan of Shea Adams anyway. So we'll find out in due course. Andrew O'Brien's on Twitter saying, if it's not Porteous, shouldn't Gallagher have been in the initial squad ahead of him? But I suppose, Roger, you kind of answered that there when you're talking about maybe Porteous is in as a squad player if none of them are going to play anyway. But we are now at the stage where one of them does play, because there's a lot of injuries. Thank you, Lee. 01419511025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Like I said, if you want to keep the Scotland ball rolling, feel free. If you want to talk about that TV deal that seems to be imminent with Sky, you can do that as well. And anything else, I can see some tweets coming in about what you got up to in terms of amateur or Lowland League or whatever it was, football at the weekend. I'll try and read some of them next as well.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It is Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. I did ask if you were busy out supporting the grassroots game or whatever at the weekend. Just always like to give a wee mention when we can. Here's one. This is perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for. George McFarlane says, best of luck to my son John McFarlane and the rest of the Scotland CP squad. The very best of luck. They're heading to the World Championship in Sardinia. They kick off tomorrow night against Italy, then South Korea, then Chile. I'm flying out tomorrow. I think we've had some of the guys on the show in the past, a long time ago, right enough now, the Scotland CP team. Roger Hanna at Cerebral Palsy, for anyone who doesn't know. So all the best to them,
all
flying the flag.
Yep, three games, good luck in all of them. And keep us posted with the results. Let us know, could be a trophy for Scotland.
Absolutely. And George, do me a favour, see when you're in Sardinia, see if you can track down Hugh Keevan's case, will you? See if it's If it's in the local area, send it back over. We'll pay for it, obviously, just to get it back. I mean, this, I said grassroots game. Sean says that him and his friend Lindsay have been touring Argentina during the international break. And there's grassroots, and there's grassroots. That's quite a, it's quite a, quite an effort on that one. Keep your tweets coming at Clyde SSB. I think some of you have maybe sent them to me as well, which is absolutely fine. And on the phone, 01419511025. And don't forget, you do go into the hat for a new Scotland home top if you get on the phones tonight. And we'll do the same for the away top tomorrow. So we're going to bring in Stephen and Cumbernauld in a second, so he will go into that hat. Let me give you tonight's teaser, and it is a cracker. But if there's two men who I think can handle it, I think it's you two, right? So it has been sent in by the Crazy Pony, and he says, since the start of the 17-18 season, 11 players have played in the league for Celtic or Rangers, whose first ever league game in Scotland came for a team currently in the lower leagues. Now, I know that sounds a lot, right? But if we read it again, and once you get some answers, I think it's a really good question. Since 17-18 season, 11 players have played in the league for Celtic or Rangers, but their first ever league game in Scotland came for a team that's currently in Scotland's lower leagues.
So not necessarily at the time.
Not necessarily at the time.
Well, what about Ryan Christie?
Right, so show me the working there.
Well, Ryan Christie would play for Celtic since 17-18 and would make his debut for Inverness Carlow Thistle,
who are
now in the Championship.
Exactly. So now that we've got one example, it does make it easier. And by the way, the Crazy Pony sent that to fulltime@clyde1.com. If you want to send your answer, your questions in, I should say, fulltime@clyde1.com. It does not need to be as complex as that, but by all means, send them in. Kenny, anything that springs
I'm
to mind?
I'm still trying to process this, but yeah, I'll get there.
It's the classic example. I mean, I know this is always the case, but in particular, when you've got the answers in front of you, you think, oh, of course. But trying to piece them all together. So guys, like, no, because his first league game would have come for Livy.
So yeah, in the flight,
and they're cut.
That?
No, but it's currently.
Oh yeah, got you.
James McCarthy.
Again, show me you're working to help the listeners out.
Make his debut for Hamilton Accies and played for Celtic last season.
Exactly. There we go. Brilliant. Okay, keep them coming. We've got another 9 to get, and it is fulltime@clyde1.com. If you want to send your questions in, and please do. And this has been bubbling away, this one, for a couple of weeks. Probably a little longer than that, I would imagine. But it started to get some public attention. And it does now look like Scottish clubs are set to approve a £150 million TV deal with Sky Sports. There were fears that Rangers and Livy would go against it, which would have meant not the right number of votes. It's an 11-1 vote that the SPFL have for these things. But it now looks like that is going to go ahead. It is an extension. It is talking about Sky being allowed to show 60 games per season from the 24-25 season. They would increase their payments to Premiership clubs from 25 to 30 million. Those are just the facts. And there's a lot of different ways to interpret them and argue either way, as Rangers and Dave Cormack and various others on Twitter have shown. There is a lot of detail, so if any of you have been across that and want to try and cut through it, please do. I mean, Stevens and Cumbernauld, what's your take on it, Stephen?
I think it's astonishing that they're thinking about taking a steal. Denmark get paid more than us. I can name more than three of their teams. We've got one of the biggest rivalries in world football, and it just seems as if we're just snapping after for the horn of the first offer that we get. I really do think it just reeks of just, oh, we'll just take whatever we can get. It's as well as it comes into the whole cinch deal as well. Spurs get paid more than us, that's one team.
Stephen, I think you will be, like loads of people will come on to that argument. I'm absolutely certain of it, and it's valid. The thing that I'm curious about then, why do you think 11 of the clubs or whatever are doing that? You know, surely it has at least got good intentions. I'm not saying they're right, I'm not saying it's the right decision, I want to underline that, but surely they don't think, ah, we'll just take the first deal and forget about the rest, do they? Would they?
I mean, I think it comes down to that over the years our league has been lowballed. It hasn't always been the best or the most amazing product, but I think we need to have more pride in what our football is about and what the commercialisation of it is.
I mean, I know it's only maybe five or six games, right? But Rangers v Celtic gets probably shown in over 150 million screens over the world, right? That's probably lowballing it, right? And how's that going to generate more than that?
Yeah. I don't know about that figure. I think you would admit yourself, Stephen, that's a bit of a general one. I mean, Roger, what's your take?
My take is that in these times of economic uncertainty, the clubs, the majority of the clubs, and it's obviously been a majority that's been big enough to swing this vote, the majority of the clubs wanted some kind of financial certainty. I think this deal goes to the year 2029, and it helps clubs going forward. Now, this isn't my way of thinking, this is their way of thinking. The clubs feel that going forward, they would prefer the certainty that is provided by this Sky deal rather than gambling on something else that may or may not be out there. I think a lot of the clubs in Scotland feel they've maybe had their fingers burned in the past. I think back to SPL TV, if you remember that, that never got off the ground 20 odd years ago. If you remember Setanta, when it was in the go a few years ago, and they've had scares, financial scares, costly financial scares, Gordon, in the past during TV deals. I get the impression, and listen, they can all phone up and correct me if I'm wrong, I get the impression that the majority of the clubs are comfortable with Sky as a broadcast partner. I think they believe that Sky value the product. I think they're happy with the way Sky present the product. And nobody's saying there's such a thing as a perfect TV deal for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the clubs feel that going forward at a difficult financial time for everyone, they would prefer the certainty over the next 7 years that this deal is going to provide them.
It's interesting, Stephen, because you see such clear both sides of this argument, don't you? The one that I'll put to you, because you're on, you know, sort of not happy about this news. Where are these other companies? You know, if Sky are lowballing or whatever else, where are the other companies that want to show their ambition and come and outbid that?
I mean, I think we're in that world anyway. Ever since Sky came to the forefront, there has been a few wee companies here and there, but they've just been eaten alive in that market. But I just, it's looking at the deals that other leagues comparable or similar size to our country are getting. People like Finland, Denmark, Norway, all these leagues seem to be getting better deals than us. It's just that's what's sticking in the back of my throat.
Yeah, and Roger, to then, I'm now countering the point that I made, because it's not my point. I'm just trying to cover as many sides of this as possible. I know that there is an argument, a suspicion, a complaint, whatever it may be, that yeah, fine, no other broadcaster is willing to cough up, but have you tried? Have you gone out? Have you had a proper tendering process? Have you properly explored those options? That's what the critics like Stephen and some people would say.
The point I was making there was, in the past, yes, they have. They have gone out and gone to market and looked for something different, and they've ended up getting their fingers burned. You know, I hear all these arguments, oh, you know, the Swedish people, the Danes, it's completely different. We're in the supply and demand market here.
Neither of them are joined on to in the same island as the English Premier League. Is that a factor as well?
Of course it's a factor as well, because there are only so many, you know, if Sky is your broadcaster, then Sky only has so many slots in which it can broadcast games. And they will fit Scottish Premiership games and alongside English Championship games, English Premiership games. And, you know, the people at Sky, they're no mugs. They know the value of all of these games. That's why the fancy slots on the Sunday afternoon and the Monday night, the valuable slots, etc., go to Manchester United versus Manchester City, because that's where the audience is. A lot of that audience comes up here as well, Gordon.
I've then seen, again, so the whole sort of point or a lot of this has been underpinned, Roger, by the fact that the number of games will increase. So yes, I hear the argument that Sky didn't take their full complement of games in the past, but there should be more games because there's more scope to do that, whilst retaining the same amount per game. But what that then also does, to show the other side, is of course it stops you selling rights to any of the other games, you know, that Sky aren't showing, whether that be other companies to come in and do it, whether that be clubs on TV, although I think they're going to be able to choose X amount.
Yeah, and I suggest you might give the five pay-per-view, couldn't get that word out there, games, you know, on their own club channels that wouldn't otherwise have been broadcast. But listen, people are trying hard to maximise income, maximise revenue streams. Look at Aberdeen and Dundee United, they've moved two games to 6 o'clock kickoffs. Look at Hibs and St Johnstone, moved a game to a Friday night. People are trying hard to find a way by which they can maximise their income, be it through broadcast deals, be it through people coming through the gate, be it through anything. You wonder, at times like this, look at your energy bills. Could the next thing that people talk about be 12:30 kickoffs, Gordon?
Do you know what I'd be curious to know, genuinely curious, not trying to even make any sort of point here. Always hear comparisons to Denmark or to Sweden, I think is one that we hear a lot, and how they get so much more. And look, they sell every game. Every game's on TV, and we don't do that, and we should do that. See if there are clubs who don't like the way we do it, whether it's Rangers or anyone else. I'd be interested to know if they genuinely, because I don't feel like this ever gets covered, would they be willing to sell every single game to TV? Say it was 19 games at Ibrox, or 19 home games at Celtic Park. Would they be willing to do that? Because if you're not, then the comparison to Denmark or Sweden or whoever is irrelevant, is it not?
Yeah, but it would be interesting to see how the season ticket sale at Celtic and Rangers went if every game, every home game was live on TV.
Thank you, Stephen. A lot to get through. We could probably do a 6 hour special on that, but you can keep the calls coming. We're here for a bit longer. 01419511025. How are you doing on this teaser? Since the beginning of 17-18 season, 11 players have played in the league for Celtic or Rangers, who played their first ever league game in Scotland for a team currently in the lower leagues. I know that sounds tough, but see, when you hear the answers, it's really not. For instance, Ryan Christie played for Celtic in the league in that period, and his first game in Scotland was for Inverness, currently in the lower leagues. Similar story, James McCarthy. Any more at the moment?
Scott Bain.
Yep. Who was his first game for?
Not a clue.
Alloa. Well done.
What about Scott Arfield at Falkirk?
Yep.
Does loans count?
No. No, it doesn't actually. No, it does not.
What about Johnny Hayes at Inverness?
Well done. I'll take one more guess, Kenny. You got anything?
No, I'm toiling.
Right, we'll get the rest of the answers and more calls next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part tonight, Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna. I've rarely seen a teaser get these two so animated during the break. It's a really good question from the Crazy Pony, and if you want to have your question read out on the show like this, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. And I always say it, they don't need to be as hard as this. It's just you need to be up early to get in front of Roger Hanna with these things. So since the start of 17-18 season, 11 players have played in the league for Celtic or Rangers, but their first ever league game in Scotland came for a team currently in the lower leagues. Guys like Ryan Christie, Inverness, James McCarthy, Hamilton Accies, Scott Bain, Alloa, Scott Arfield, Falkirk, Johnny Hayes, Inverness.
Kamara.
Brilliant, of course, at Dundee.
And Greg Stewart.
Ooh, I like that one. Where?
Cowdenbeath.
Well
now in
done.
The Lowland League.
Yeah, now in the Lowland League indeed. So what we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. Four more to get. I reckon Kenny Miller. 1, 2, 2 former teammates of yours remaining.
Tell me. Think.
Wow. I think, anyway. You must have crossed over with them. I think so. So two. Yeah, two Rangers, two Celtic, really. One of the Celtic ones is outrageous in that, well, look, they're not all Scottish, because obviously Glenn Kamara's not.
Yeah.
And I know, just like football nationality, James McCarthy and Scott Arfield.
Johnny Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But most of them are either from here or near here or whatever. This guy's not, but this still applies to him.
Oh. Wow.
And
I like the sound of that.
And like I said, two former.
Any current players? No,
I think you've done all them.
Yeah.
Although there is a guy who, it might not currently be at Celtic, but is very much in our thoughts at the moment.
Oh, Jack Hendry.
Give it away. Jack Hendry. Started at
Partick Thistle.
Partick Thistle. Well done. Okay. One more ex-Celtic and two more, I think, former teammates of Kenny Miller. Must have been.
Oh,
must have been.
Come on, mental. Kenny. Come on.
Must have been. Right. Let's bring in Gary, who's in Bells Hill tonight. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow, Gary?
Good evening, panel.
Hello.
Hi, Gary.
I've just been looking at the past couple of games. I think from the squad, and even just over the past couple of campaigns, I think we've got a really, really strong overall squad. Goalies, not worried about. Defence, midfield, getting all strong. My main concern that has been for a wee while is where the goals are coming from. I think I kind of showed on the Ukraine game until, like, you know, Dyche come on and scored a double after, like, 10 minutes on, which was great. But I'm just thinking for the future. Now, I'm a Rangers man, so the two names for strikers in the future for me are, like, Rory Wilson, Zach Lovelace. I'm just wondering, who do you... Because you guys will know more than me. Who's coming through the ranks that now they're going to...
I wouldn't be so sure, Gary. But knowing more than you, but you're right in the sense that Rory Wilson is 18, I think, and has played twice for Scotland under 21s in the last couple of days. He would be one, Roger. But the thing with these guys at the moment, only time will tell you if they go on to make more of an impact than, say, Jack Aitchison or the young strikers that came before and get right into that Scotland A squad and score goals
think,
at that
I
level.
I think the closest just now is a guy called Tommy Conway, who has emerged. He scored 7 goals in the English Championship for Bristol City this season. Capped for the Scotland under-21 side through, I think it's a paternal grandfather. Very highly rated down there. I think Bristol City, bizarrely, are the leading scorers in the English Championship under Nigel Pearson. Really forward-going team. And this lad Conway has come in and excelled this season. I think it's good that the SFA have got him on board. He seems very keen to be on board. And he would be as close, you know, if anything had happened to Che Adams and Lyndon Dykes, already without Ross Stewart, they're already without Jacob Brown for this gathering. So, you know, Ollie McBurney has scored goals.
Has he not got four, I think he's got four in his last five?
Yeah. Yeah. Ollie Burke is leading the line for Werder Bremen in the Bundesliga again.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, Gary's talking, as you say, the young and next.
The next one uncapped, who will be pushing for the squad, for me, will be Tommy Conway.
Kenny, to be fair to Gary, you could have made this call at any point in the last 20 years. I don't know, just before you, or just after you broke in. We've just not had many strikers that have come through and sustained themselves. You might be the last one.
No, well, listen, it's been a position that has been, you've had Lee Griffiths and you've had Stephen Fletcher's, you've had even Ross McCormack was in for a stage, and now you've got the Dykes and Shea Adams who are fighting for it. I think this is probably the first time for a while where we've got actually those two guys who are quite, they're in a good age. They're going to be around the team, definitely, obviously through form and injury, hopefully, that they're going to be there for the next 6-7 years and they'll be there fighting for them.
And by the way, I'm not saying this matters to me, they didn't come through, if you like. One's Australian, and, you know,
I get it. Yeah, but even
Conway didn't
even
either.
Conway is not going to be the same either. So again, I don't know who the ones are who are going to be at the academy. Like you say, the Jack Aitchison's there.
You heard Rory Wilson gone from Rangers to Aston Villa.
Yeah, again, but it's a long time away. Young, perhaps, you know, he still need to develop. He needs to probably break through into the first team first before he can start thinking about the national team call up. So it's a tough one. But again, there's a lot of good young players out there. It's just about someone stepping forward and getting into that first team pretty quick and then getting through. But no, it's a fair question.
I suppose, though, Gary, to put a positive, try and end on a positive, we're not awash with goals, but John McGinn does it. Lyndon Dykes, actually, it's now turning into not a bad record. It's potentially, we're in maybe a bit of a better position than we were a couple of years ago. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'd say that. It's just when I look at things like Parsons coming through right back, Gilmore, who I think once he gets some time at a club level will just do nothing but shine internationally. So I'm just looking at that like a striker. Like, I think for the next goalie, it's either going to be Clark or Kelly or something like that once Gordon steps down. But for the striker, that's where I'm looking. Where's our number 9 or number 10, somebody in that 18 yard box who knows where the back of the net is?
It's a very good question. I mean, Roger, the thing is, as Kenny knows fine well, and we've been talking about it with John McGinn, you only need to hit 14 goals for Scotland to be in the top 9 all-time scorers for the country. John, that's where John McGinn is now. He just one more, and he goes level with James McFadden and Robert Hamilton from way back. Whisper it, he needs four more, and he catches up with Kenny Miller. You know, so even Lyndon Dykes isn't a million miles off that now. You're just looking for somebody who can put a little sustained run together in front of goal.
Yeah, this is good though. You know, if records are broken, this is good. I think the more caps, you know, there was John McGinn, his 50th cap against the Republic of Ireland on Saturday night. Callum McGregor will get his 49th in Krakow tomorrow. Andy Robertson, when he's fit, is already over 50. He's in the Hall of Fame. Craig Gordon, I think, is his 73rd. He gets the more caps these guys get, the better. And the closer they get to breaking goal scoring records, assist records, brilliant, because it all shows that Steve Clarke's aim to get more experience into the players, get more experience into this team and the squad is working.
And incidentally, not just them, the players that are picking up experience, because Steve Clarke, Roger, I don't know if you clocked that, is his 40th,
yep,
which pulls him level with Gordon Strachan.
Fourth of all time, fourth highest.
Yeah, and then certainly that sort of modern era. Look, Craig Brown's going to take some toppling at 71, but Steve Clarke will obviously manage certainly one more, two more, you know, games, yeah, for Scotland. And yeah, he's going to go there. He's going to overtake Gordon Strachan in the next couple of games. And that's quite an innings for him.
Yeah, I think he said today he was actually quite surprised when somebody put that statistic to him. If Scotland win in Krakow tomorrow night, I think it's his 20th victory, obviously a 50% win ratio. I think there's only been three Scotland managers in the past who have actually had a higher win ratio than that as well. So if you look at it just in terms of bare statistics, he has been a success as Scotland manager. He's taken the national team back to our first finals in, what was it, 23 years. And if we could win or even get the point tomorrow and get promotion among Europe's elite, I think maybe some people would open their eyes to it when the likes of, you know, maybe Spain, France and Holland were coming to Hampden in the next Nations League.
Right, okay then, you're looking for a couple more players who've played for Celtic or Rangers in the league since the 17-18 season, but their first league game in Scotland came for teams down the divisions here. What have you got for me, Kenny?
Greg Docherty.
Greg Docherty, well done.
I've got one maybe more.
Okay.
David Bates.
Yes, that's the two. That is the two we were looking for.
You know, at times like this, Kenny, I always fall back on Gordon DL. Gordon DL says, when there's a question like this, there's always a goalie.
I can't believe you've pulled this.
You've had Scott Bain.
Wait till you hear this, Kenny.
There's always another goalie.
Wait till you hear this.
A goalie for Celtic who used to play for Dunfermline.
How does he do it?
Doris de Vries,
incredible.
Doris de Vries, well
done. That's why he's Oracle.
That was a pleasure to watch. Right, thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Roger. Thanks for all your calls. The winner of the Scotland Top tonight is Graham from Easterhouse. Well done, Graham. Stand by your phone. We'll be in touch soon, and we'll do the same for the away top tomorrow on what is a huge night for Scotland. Ukraine against Scotland in the Nations League. One single point is enough to top the group and get straight into the playoffs for the next Euros. Massive. Join us tomorrow at 6 with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, and Callum Gallagher is up next.